And that was a selection from the musical Hadestown, the myth, the musical, and probably be hearing some more of that. So here's a hopeful story from the Santa Barbara Independent of November 6th. That's when the story is dated. Mayor and council member team up to end solution to street stuff. Santa Barbara beating retreat on proposed ordinances targeting homeless people's belongings. By Nick Welsh. Steve Price was nowhere to be seen in City Hall's Room 15 for the informal confab convened this Monday evening by Mayor Kathy Murillo and Council Member Kristen Sneddon to deal with homeless people and their shopping carts. But he may as well have been. A one-time Cracker Jack CBS television news reporter, Price has been on the streets of Santa Barbara the past 18 years. He and his shopping carts, which contain an avalanche of recent drawings and art supplies, can often be seen near Santa Barbara's courthouse, where Price spends considerable time both as an artistic observer and criminal defendant. Court records indicate Price has been booked into county jail no fewer than 32 times. His own attorney suggests Price has faced criminal charges, always misdemeanors, 67 times since 2008. Over the years, Price has undeniably enriched the cultural ecosystem of the county courthouse with his satiric sketches and engaging personality. Judge Brian Hill, for example, has afforded Price the respect and affection once reserved for court jesters. But when upset, Price can cut a genuinely frightening figure, shouting loudly and angrily at no one in particular. It's a little wonder, then, that Price's name was invoked more than once when a subcommittee of the Santa Barbara City Council began processing two new proposed ordinances designed to allow city cops to crack down on errant shopping carts and personal belongings left in public. The blowback from the two ordinances is now gathering serious momentum. Sarah Miller McCoon, a prominent philanthropist in liberal democratic political circles, objected. The council seemed intent on waging, quote, "and yet another war on the homeless," she wrote on October 29th. "Don't you have more important things to do?" Jumping in feet first was attorney Joseph Doherty, who for 20 months defended Price as an employee of the Public Defender's Office. Doherty has just recently left that position in the Public Defender's Office to create the People's Justice Project, a new legal rights initiative designed to help homeless people deal with the blizzard of criminal charges they face. Doherty, who continues to represent Price, issued a three-page legal challenge to City Hall's proposal to make it easier for city cops to impound personal belongings bigger than a backpack left in public spaces. There should be areas around public buildings, such as the courthouse and the library, where people can lock up their mobile storage units, Doherty argued. Everyone needs to be treated fairly and with respect. And not only there, I would add. Although City Attorney Ariel Colon insisted that his office is taking pains to ensure due process will be observed before anyone's property is seized, and that City Hall would not be criminalizing homeless people, Mayor Murillo and Councilmember Sneddon joined forces to have both items yanked from further consideration by the Council's Ordinance Committee. Sneddon, who chairs the Ordinance Committee, had voted against the personal belongings proposal, arguing the Council should explore the creation of drop-off centers first. Sneddon, however, found herself on the losing side, and the committee voted to refer the matter to the Council as a whole. The council's normal legislative assembly line was disrupted when Murillo, the mayor, jumped in, agreeing that more focus needed to be given to the creation of drop-off centers first. To that end, Murillo and Sneddon met with a handful of longtime homeless service providers, homeless rights advocates, and related government types in Room 15. I noticed no homeless people were involved, at least not mentioned, which adjoins the council chambers. For about 90 minutes, they explored the pros and cons of various logistical alternatives, but found consensus, even among people sympathetic to homeless concerns, as elusive as wrestling a greased pig. The number of questions exceeded answers. Would rotating pop-ups work? Could churches be enlisted to provide such service? Could the industrial bike locker storage boxes that used to be located at the MTD bus depot be used? Could such a spot be used as a venue where service-resistant individuals could be enticed into getting services? Should it be supervised, and if so, by whom? Of course, I don't see the question, should they be left the fuck alone? Didn't apparently come up. Cautionary warnings, or perhaps more relevant, what evidence was there that there's a real problem here, other than the moans and groans of some aesthetes who don't like to see homeless belongings on their streets? Cautionary warnings abounded. Efforts to create such centers in other communities have encountered their fair share of problems. Some prove more troublesome and costly than they were worth. But the hidden cost of locking people up for violating new laws, others warned, was not insubstantial either. As always, there was much debate about balancing the immediate short-term needs of a storage area where people could stow their stuff while visiting doctors, relatives, or the DMV, with the long-term needs of supportive housing, which most involved agreed did not exist in the numbers needed. In the past week, the Salvation Army pulled the plug on its proposal to provide 14 units of permanent supportive housing on Elisa Street in the face of withering neighborhood opposition and the credible threat of prolonged legal enticements. The $2.5 million in state homeless grants it had secured would expire if not spent by June 2021. And, of course, in Santa Cruz, we have a similar situation where the Salvation Army has pulled back from any kind of winter shelter program, even the very limited one involving 60 beds on Laurel Street, in favor of an extension of the privileges for the few in the campground who are shivering their way forward by extending that timeline further instead of allowing people winter shelter here in Santa Cruz, as Brent Adams talked about on Thursday. Snedden, back in Santa Barbara, I guess he's not the mayor, he's a council member, left after an hour, evidently impatient with the sprawling focus of the discussion. All players at the table agreed, however, that the council should not have hatched the two new ordinances without first asking for help, addressing the behavior giving rise to them in the first place. Murillo pushed back, saying that she's heard from people worried about, quote, losing control of the streets, as has happened in parts of Los Angeles. She cited clusters of squatters who for a while occupied sidewalks by Laguna Street near the freeway. Jeff Schaefer, a longtime faith-based service provider, argued the first course of action would be to figure out how many individuals might actually benefit from a storage center and go from there. How many people are we actually talking about here? He asked. The second question he asked is whether they'd use it. As for Stephen Price, again, no question about whether any of this is necessary and what are the real evils that are supposedly involved in having homeless possessions on the street. As for Stephen Price, he wasn't there, but when asked about it afterward, he stated, "Every homeless vet lives like a squirrel. We all need to hide our winter nuts. Yeah, so yes, every creature, great and small, needs some type of storage." That's the story. Mayor and council member team up to find solution to homeless stuff. Santa Barbara beating retreat on proposed ordinances targeting homeless people's belongings by Nick Welch in the November 6th Santa Barbara Independent. So now we're going to return to the Sunday memorial for Desiree Quintero, the woman who died in the Poganip when a tree fell on her after she and several hundred people were dispersed into the Poganip based on the lies of city manager Martin Bernal and his assistant, who in court swore on a stack of Bibles, so to speak, or at least swore under penalty of perjury, that they would have adequate indoor legal shelter for those people and did not, specifically not for Desiree Quintero. We return now to the second part of the Sunday memorial in front of the post office on the sidewalk next to the Food Not Bombs meal.
Does anybody else want to share any words? Thank you, Linda.
Thanks, Keith. I never exactly met Desiree. I almost met her. We were in the same place at the same time, but she's my hero, of course. And that only amplifies in the way we lost her. But I want to remind people that there are a lot of other of these kind of martyrs who, where a nursing home is their death sentence because they can't get one until it's too late. And then they're put in a nursing home like Linda Edwards a long time ago. And I can list dozens of people, unfortunately I only remember first names, who we lost track of, and a week later they're dead. Desiree can help us remember all these people because she was out front that way. But it takes all of us, it takes this many people and one more to create the groundswell of solidarity, that a union, any kind of unitedness, that solidarity will give us. It'll grow more than we can even imagine, I promise. And I'm getting tired, Sue, it needs to happen soon. There are so many ways to kill people, and yet I get smacked around psychologically at the county when I say words like genocide. But it doesn't shake out any other way. We are under assault by people who don't even know they're contributing to people's demise. And it takes that kind of integrity. It takes the kind of honesty Desiree was an example of for people to begin to realize that the word homelessness, I'm so glad it came up this way tonight, formerly a euphemism, so we didn't have to know quite what we as a society were doing to people falling down. And now it is, it's the new word for nigger, like someone said earlier. While we continue to kill black people in the same vicious, sneaky way, but now it's a class struggle. It's a class struggle like it hadn't been for a while. It wasn't in the 60s when we could get information in every neighborhood about that. But it didn't feel like that because there was an economic growth, I guess they call it. But that's been taken over by, well, I think, by things like corporate personhood. At any rate, it's gone. And we're struggling and there's more of us and we'll have more power when we all get our focus on. And you can do that and go home and find you might have to do it again the next day. But if we do it together and we know there's people behind us, it'll flow. And this is our town, as it's much as it is the corporations who come in and bought the buildings that our parents used to live in. This is our town, and this is the town of the young men that can't get a job, can't even get health care, and they're wandering around without a clue even how to find food, not bombs. And eventually, maybe they'll get lucky because there are people who talk. I get the news from the street. I'm just saying, we can get a lot of courage. But it doesn't stop the trees from dying in a storm. So we got to get a lot better definition of shelter. If someone can cut your house down with a pair of scissors, is that shelter? Can we let the county say that's a definition of shelter? If you can get rained out and you're not allowed to even walk out of the place, is that safety? I don't know. I think I'm getting a little too specific. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Linda. Any other people like to come forward?
Okay. Thank you. My name is Elise. I saw Desiree before the Ross Camp, but it was at the Ross Camp that I met Desiree. And I just want to say, and I hope you all will respond, that her death was uncanny for me. Her death was so, as Anthony said, extremely significant. Not that anyone else's death is less, but because she stood up and she was a leader. And that's how I knew Desiree. Alicia Cool and Keith and Food Not Bombs people, the harm reduction groups, and so many people, Democratic Socialists of America, but also so many church people were coming there. So many homeless people went there. It was a community, and it was one of the first times in Santa Cruz that we had a togetherness and a community. And Desiree was a leader of that community. The last time I saw Desiree, she was on her bicycle crossing from the Saturn to go across to the Taco Bell down Pacific. I would see her there on her bicycle. Desiree uncannily died a time, at an amazing moment when we are working to hold the city accountable anyway. That's what we're working to do in the homeless union, in Food Not Bombs, and the people like Alicia Kuhl and others who represent. And many homeless people have been coming to city council for the first time in the last 6 months. I've seen more homeless people show up and speak. Lion, Sunny, all kinds of people showing up, feeling their power. And it's because people have that leadership inside them. Nobody can lead us who are outside trying to live. How many times did I look up into the trees, the redwoods actually, and think, well, it's kind of a windy night. I'm tired, I don't want to move, but if I don't move, I might get hurt. So I found a spot where there were no trees over me, but it was a peculiar spot, and I'm not telling any of y'all where it is, okay? Just in case, I might need to go back there again. It was also, I felt safe from the mountain lions, okay? Because that's real too. There's all kinds of things. Desiree led us. And when I met Desiree at the Ross Camp, like Alicia Kuhl, I thought, wow, this woman's together. This woman is in charge of herself. And she's nice. And she knows what she's doing. And she's organized. And she led us. And that Ross Camp, is a heroic and amazing feat. That Ross Camp was a huge success. Lucero is here tonight. Lucero was with the Freedom Sleepers. The Freedom Sleepers had to go to City Hall to have a place to be. What was amazing about the Ross Camp is that people started living there and helping each other out, and more people came, and it became a community. So I just want to conclude by saying the uncanny death for me, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, and if anybody wants to say presente to Desiree's spirit, because it's too uncanny for me. I feel like Desiree, once again, is leading us. I feel like Desiree is saying, you know what? My spirit is so strong, I'm going to lead us all in my death, and I'm going to say to the city, you have to give us transitional encampments, like now, because we can't have people dying under trees because it's windy outside. It's often windy outside. And Desiree deserves to have us remember her, I feel at least. Desiree deserves to have us recognize, like other people, like Lucero and Alicia Kuhl and Anthony and Keith and Sonny and so many of us out here. Say your name if you want. Desiree Presente. Desiree, thank you, because we're going to hold this city accountable. We are going to get transitional encampments, and then we're going to get housing for poor and low-income people. Thank you, Desiree. Thank you for your uncanny death, and we feel your spirit leading us into the future and help guiding us. And it was an uncanny timing, but we know that you are part of this. You are part of us coming together and moving forward together. And we will remember you. Thank you for being such a wonderful leader.
Thank you, Lisa. Anybody else like to speak?
You want to speak? Yeah.
Sorry.
So, I didn't really want to say much because hearing heartfelt comments about Desiree by people who cared very deeply about her are really what this memorial is about. But the last few speakers have raised issues that I think are really important, and I think that Desiree would have said were really important based upon the many times I've heard her in the camp council and in interviews which I do for free radio. For example, on Tuesday, there is another memorial at City Hall, but I believe there's also going to be an event which Keith may talk about all day long at City Hall involving distribution of different things to folks who are there, whether it's food or sleeping bags or other items. But more important, it is the people at City Hall who need to be held accountable for this. Not just Desiree's death, but the next death and the death after that. And just the misery of people sleeping outside every night, having to face citations for blocking the sidewalk, citations for being in a park after dark, citations for, these are hidden camping citations. We thought the courts were going to protect, but they're not protecting. As Anthony and others have said, people have to protect themselves, and they do this by forming the kind of community that Elise was talking about, and that Alicia and Desiree and the people at Ross Camp formed. And that's one of the reasons Ross Camp was broken up, because it was a community of homeless people that were one way or another in small groups to some extent through toleration. Yeah, there was drug use. There's going to be drug use anyway, everywhere. That's not the issue. The issue is community for people, people supporting each other. And that group of people forced porta potties and wash stations and other kinds of obvious things to be placed that once the Ross Camp was dispersed have disappeared along with the disappearance of Ross Camp and have not yet reappeared. In fact, you know, Loudoun Nelson bathrooms continue to be shut to you unless you can prove you're in a program. And people are being treated in very overt ways as essentially dangerous, criminal, crazy, addicted, and so irresponsible. We're all addicted to different things. That's not the issue. The issue is how we behave towards each other. But the real issue also is the narrative. The narrative that this city is pushing through the Sentinel, through Martine Bernal, through Andy Mills, through all these leaders who are telling the liberals who have backed away that there is housing for people, there's enough, we're working on it. We have a committee, the CATCH committee, that's working on housing. But the truth is that they don't have this. And they have lied about this for years. I mean, we have Linda here who spoke, was chair of the Homeless Issues Task Force years ago. Keith can probably tell you about the fact that time and time again, the city has come up with the obvious. Bathrooms, places to sleep, police, lay off. All these things are obvious. And yet, they don't do them because their real objective is to serve people who are wealthier, who have money. And if that means sacrificing the people who used to live here and can't live here anymore, whether they're renters or people outside, that's what they're doing. So I encourage us to step forward as best we can. And it's not easy for people who are outside to do this. You know, you've got to have somebody to watch your stuff. You got to worry about all kinds of things when you come to these kinds of protests, even this memorial. But when we get together and do this kind of stuff, it gives me encouragement. It gives me hope. I've been watching this stuff go on for years. And I think I'll turn this over to Keith, who can maybe talk more about what's happening on Tuesday.
Thank you, Robert. So on Tuesday at 4, we're going to have a memorial service. We're borrowing chairs and to set up like we have done in past memorials. But we're going to show up in the morning at 9 o'clock, and we're going to have a vigil all day outside of City Hall so that politicians and city workers that are implementing this war against people on the streets are going to have to face us. And then one of the things that we are going to do is we have a series of 10 demands. The demands that are really that Linda, in the 2000 report that she was a part of, have never been implemented. Or the 2017 City Council report. Or in the grand jury investigation. Or in the cash that's happening now. So our idea is to spend the day in front of City Hall, and then to have a memorial service from roughly from 4 to 5. And then there is a cash meeting at Loudoun Nelson. Well, they will again talk about how they're going to talk about talking about. And so we can go down there en masse and not talk about anything, but show them something. Show them that we are powerful, that we are not going to put up for with this. And one suggestion is to stay at City Hall and make that the new Ross camp until they end the towing of people's homes, until they stop coming along here and sweeping everyone away over and over again, taking all their belongings on every street, until they fire the people responsible, Andy Mills, Martine Bernal, Susie O'Hare. We need to get, they have spent years waging a war against people on the street. Well, and then we are also demanding that October 27th every year be designated Desiree Quintero Day, and that the Mayor Watkins sign a proclamation saying that that will always be remembered from here on forever in Santa Cruz as a day to remember Desiree. We're also advocating that we seize the Civic Auditorium until there is adequate shelter for people, that there are transition camps that we manage, not that Salvation Army manages, that we have camps where when you want to go to do something, you are free to do it. When you want to go to the restroom, you are free to do so. If you want to come and go, that is you. We are adults. We are the ones that built this country. We should not be treated like children, like somehow we're lesser than. We are not. How many of us are on the streets because of having worked for this system and injured our bodies? How many? Many of us live on these streets because we were the victims of helping some billionaire stay a billionaire.
Negligent landlord.
Yeah, slumlords. Like with Desiree, she mentioned she didn't want to live in a Section 8 home with cockroaches. That should not be a sentence to the streets and a sentence to die under a tree in the Poconos. That should never happen. So we need to be united and strong, and I hope to see you in midday or in the morning at City Hall, and to stay with us, and that if we decide to, as a group that evening after going to the cash meeting, that we want to set up a new transitional camp at City Hall, that we do so. Because they need to know that this is the end of the road of treating us like dirt. That's the death of Desiree is that final line in the sand where we're not going to take it anymore. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
Sonny.
All right, my name is Sonny, and I've known Desiree for quite a long time. And with that Ross encampment, damn, that woman had a big heart. That woman had power. That woman had a coordination with everybody out here. Those who had actually didn't have a house, or when it was raining at that Ross encampment, she taught me one thing. You mean reaching out to our leaders, our elders, our individual ones, taking care of them, giving them what they need. So I gave up, I sacrificed my tent for Desiree to actually have something a little bit better for her. When that Ross encampment had started, that tent had not moved from that tent, that Ross encampment, at all. That woman had a big heart, so much love that she said, you know what, come here. Look it, do we have eye to eye? No, come here, do we have eye to eye? Slap you in the face right there. You know what, we don't have that connection? No, come here. Do we have eye to eye? Now that woman had power. She was so strong, stronger than a man. She would kick that man's butt out of the house like nothing. But you know what? That woman had power that's in each and every one of you. If you guys remember Desiree, that woman had so much soul in her bloodlines that what she did for her son and what her son's doing now, creating a destiny worldwide a nationwide, a following generation. You mean, she always told me, if you reach one out, you can teach one. That person will lead another one, just like how they've been taught. You mean, how much knowledge do we have to gain out here in the streets? I got street knowledge. I don't got that school knowledge. Okay? Now that woman, she showed me something. Doctors, look what's around you. If you guys have something in your heart or in that body inside of you that's still beating, you should care about the others who are out here. Because they're the ones who are going to actually help you. As family, as one, unite in our unity and our community, nationwide. Nationwide. So while she's up there flying, she's got her wings over us. We are protected. We are those ones to lead, to teach, and to grow. Now, I've been stripped away from everything. And that woman actually showed me something. Strength, power, standing up. I got a voice.
You're here.
Just like that woman had too. And what she says, I love you all equally.
Yes, honey. Yes, honey. That's the fitting. Ego, you got something? Great.
Hey, my name's Ego, but that's not important. I consider myself a soldier in the war on poverty. But if I'm a soldier, Desiree was the general. You know, and I didn't know her, but I've talked to her before, and it's a tragedy that she had to go like this, but she had to go at all, but she taught us all something. Pay it forward, love each other, and you know what? Her dying, it's a tragedy, but the thing is, it's going to spur the movement, and we need to unite and love each other. And none of us are free long as one of us doesn't have a warm bed to sleep in. You know, Desiree taught us to love each other and have compassion for each other. You know, somebody said she was a little gruff, but she cared about people. So let her be an example for all of us. God bless Desiree.
Thank you. Sarah, did you want to say something? Okay. Any last words? Before we start getting too cold and hanging around out here? Okay.
Hi, my name is Wes Wyatt. I'm from Salinas, the homeless union down there. Just wanted to let you know that on Tuesday, tomorrow, we'll be going up to Sacramento. There's about 7 or 8 homeless unions just in the state of California. So we are gaining a lot of momentum and energy in the right direction, and we need your help. We need fundraising, we need marketing, we need promoting. What we really need is when people go outside and they're outside, they get confronted, we need evidence. So video, you know, cop watch, you ever heard of that? Just video the entire encounter. As soon as the police show up, video. If you can't, you know, document everything, because we need this for evidence. There's only two things the city understands, and that's lawsuits and voting. So lawsuits is the evidence piece, and the voting. So register to vote where you are. Doesn't matter where you're at, just describe the location, look it up, you know, there's addresses all around.
Tell them where to send them.
Where do you want to send
them? Our phone numbers or our emails. You can send that information to alicia1l@hotmail.com, that's A-L-I-C-I-A, the number 1l@hotmail.com, or you can text us if something happens locally. My number is 831-431-7766. That's the local chapter of the California Homeless Union. And you can call me anytime and send us the emails, send us the evidence. We're preparing another lawsuit. That's another announcement that we wanted to make, is that we intend to hold the city of Santa Cruz accountable, and we're going to be filing a lawsuit for wrongful death and for emotional distress, and we want them to be accountable and make changes around here. So.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
All right.
I'm Lucero Luna. I'm Lucero Luna. I came from Southern California in 2015, and when funds disappeared, the homeless service center, we lost beds, daily beds, and the breakfast and the dinner, and so the police criminalization increased. So we funded Freedom Sleepers, and we were protesting weekly by camping out. And then after the year of anniversary, there was no changes. So I raised the bar, and I was reclaiming public space here on Pacific Avenue Garden Mall, and I was banned for 12 months. Because this was my turf. I would wake up and follow the, they used to be called the Park Rangers Downtown Unit when they were harassing people and waking them up. So I would follow them in the morning, at 7 in the morning. And so when I couldn't do that, I didn't see a purpose to be here. So I went down to back to Southern California. And so last year I chose again to be in the streets to document the injustice in the Ventura, California, and I got arrested a lot. They tried everything they could to intimidate me and squeeze me out of the, not Ventura County, but three counties, and supposedly I have been banned for all the parks over there. Okay, so then when I didn't get scared anymore, but I did need a break because it was taking a toll on my body in solitary confinement at the psychiatric hospital in the county. They put me in a 14-day hole and all this stuff. So I got housed in Claremont, but then it was not a life for me. I had to go back to the streets and document. And so I have a court on the 14th that I have to go back to. Yes, I have to change my guilty plea of not guilty of trespassing and plead guilty to disturbing the peace so they can drop the trespassing case. And I got a conviction of battery against one of the security called park ambassadors in Ventura, that she was pushed to convince me to accept a one-way ticket back to Santa Cruz, where they found out I came from as a freedom sleeper activist. So when that didn't work, the harassment increased. And so one day, I'm coming out of the Crown Plaza Hotel, and I'm going like this. I don't want her to approach me. And I did have a Dixie cup of little water, so I went like this, and I did. I threw it, and landed on her cheek. So I was found guilty of battery. But they omitted the body cameras of the arresting officers because she kept saying, she's crazy, she's migrant. And they edited the 911 call and took away the word homeless. So yeah, I got, equal justice under the law, except for my my status, right? So I've been housed, I've been unhoused, I've been a vehicle dweller, I've been sheltered, and I've been on shelter in this county and in Ventura County. I have a very issue with the word homeless because I have never known what it is to be at home over the family that care. So I didn't want to be part of the Ventura chapter of the California Homeless Union because they had the word homeless. But because of my legal situations there, I said, because of my legal situations there, the harassment to the Ventura County PD, I said, I think I should start it. So we did. We have 55 members now in 2 weeks.
Right.
Anyhow, so I am here to show that our lives do matter even after our death.
We're here.
Thank you so much. So Lucero was on the front lines of the Freedom Sleepers for 2 years, and we actually, the direct success of that was 1220 River Street would be the outcome of that. But that's not a satisfying outcome. But it is one step in the step towards liberation. But thank you all so much for coming to honor Desiree. It means a lot to the family, I'm sure, to definitely to us and her friends. And we really hope that you will continue on this struggle and that you will join us again and bring 12 or 15 other people on Tuesday at 4 to City Hall to make sure that this city does not blind to the violence that they are intentionally using our tax dollars against us. But thank you very much.
All right, take a key.
I was alone so long, I didn't even know that I was lonely. Out in the cold so long, didn't even know that I was cold. Turn my collar to the wind, this is how it's always been. All I've ever known is how to hold my own. How to hold my own, but now I want to hold you too. You take me in your arms, and suddenly there's sunlight all around. Everything bright and warm and shining like it never did before. And for a moment I forget just how dark and cold it gets. All I've ever known is how to hold my own. All I've ever known is how to hold my own. But now I want to hold you. Now I want to hold you. Hold you close. I don't want to ever have to let you go. Now I want to hold you. Hold you tight. I don't want to go back to moonlight. Say that you hold me forever. Say that the wind won't change on us. Say that we'll stay with each other, and it'll always be like this.
I'm gonna hold you forever. The wind will never change on us. Long as we stay with each other, then it will always be like this.
And that was another one from Hadestown, All I've Ever Known. You're tuned to the stream of free radio at freakradio.org or the archive. Keep listening. And now let's pick up some of the second half of the Red Church interviews from last Monday. Although we may be talking about the Monday before the last Monday. In any case, it's the Red Church. So it looks like a call-in from activist in Las Vegas. Sir, do you want to sign in and give us all your social security number and so forth?
I'm having those problems moving here. I'm not clear to even live here yet. I just given a report. I haven't done any activism here, but I did see on the news that they're going after the youthful homeless that are camping out or camping on the streets if the shelters have room for them. But, of course, I'm sure there is no room in the shelters. It's all fake.
So have you actually talked to any of these people? Are you looking at the newspaper accounts?
I just heard it on TV. I just got shit. It's everywhere. You know, it's not just Santa Cruz. But it looks like they're a few years behind Santa Cruz because Santa Cruz has been doing this for years.
Yeah, well, shit. I don't know much about Las Vegas except, I guess, some recent probably saw some stories related to what you saw, but not so much in the last, maybe in the last month or two, but not in the last week or two.
Well, the activists were pointing out these are young homeless, and Vegas has the highest number of young homeless. And the activists were pointing out they're just going to give them a record that'll destroy their chances to get jobs and keep them homeless forever.
Indeed. Howard, are you able to find a place to rent, or are you outside yourself?
Well, a friend of mine moved here, so I have a place, but I haven't been improved yet by the management that's running here. So they approved me originally when she was buying the unit, but now it's taking forever. So we'll see. It's a court case if they try and pull this shit on me. But the rents are much cheaper here than Santa Cruz. You can get a place here on if you're disabled and don't have Section 8. There's plenty of $300 rooms here.
Single room occupancy places?
Yeah, you have room in a house for $300, but a room in a house in Santa Cruz is like $1,000, you know.
Well, I know that you were a longtime activist here in Santa Cruz for years, and you were kind of priced out, right?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people I know have been gentrified out too, as you yourself have noticed.
Yeah.
A lot of the activists have had to leave, either go to Portland, or I guess this is one option. I do like to gamble, so it was an attractive option for me.
Making your fortune, are you?
No, I'm on disability. I can't really. I'm still on California disability, which is $200 more than Nevada disability. So as long as I can keep that, I probably will. But once I go on Nevada disability, my SSI only adds maybe here I would get 800 something, in Santa Cruz I get 1,000, and I get 760 something normal. So they'd only be giving me about $60 here, in which case I'd say screw it and just gamble instead.
Is food cheaper as well, or is it
Somewhat. Some things are cheaper, like the laundromat was the same as regular. Some food is cheaper, and there's no tax, which is nice. No sales tax. So things are generally cheaper. That's why the SSI is less here, and the rents are much less, mainly is the main thing. Because it's so spread out. It's just a desert, and they just let it, you know, develop whatever. And actually, it kind of works. They have these very large blocks where the main traffic flows on, and there's smaller blocks within that. And it seems to work very well in my neighborhood. The traffic never really stops the way it does in Santa Cruz on SoCal. So many alternate routes. But the thing is, for the homeless, everything is so much farther apart. Everything's bigger. The rooms are bigger. You know, everything's bigger because it's, you know, desert land is cheaper. And so the homeless, you know, I would think, I haven't seen that many because I don't get downtown that much, but backpacks are, you know, you got to carry it for more of a shopping cart kind of homeless situation here because it's.
How's the attitude toward homeless people from the population?
Well, you know me. I'm getting some flack. I just look, a little bit scary. But I don't know. I mean, I can't say I haven't been out that much. I'm kind of blind, so I'm a little leery about getting lost.
How do you feel about revealing your identity to our listeners, or do you want to keep it?
Oh, they all know me. Come on, all your listeners know me.
Well, you've given us a couple of clues in this discussion. So.
Well, I attend your meetings regularly. I'm sorry to hear that Desiree got hit by a tree.
Yeah. Although there's, you know, it's producing some activism. There may be a lawsuit. There may be an activist movement. They cut off all money for winter shelter here at all. Not that the winter shelter is worth a shit.
To speak of, yes.
Yeah.
Well, they fumigate you in those winter shelters, I heard. You know, it's a common. That also came up at the new camp they have. They get fumigated regularly.
Yeah, that was a concern of Greg at the Conscious in Action meeting, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I heard the same thing from the dog guy at one of the winter shelters, and they shut the windows there, too. It's like you got no rights when you're homeless. So how was there a lawsuit over that? That was like an act of God or something, a tree fell or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just heard sort of rumors of it. It may be forthcoming from... some of the relatives of Desiree who are, you know, lost their mom or lost their sister or whatever.
Well, sister won't work in the 9th district, but a mom or a child or a parent can sue of her wrongful death.
You should know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have heard, you know, that's likely. And, I'll keep you briefed if you stay in touch or send me an email and we'll keep talking about it.
Such an odd thing. Only three people died from the wind, and one of them was a homeless person in Santa Cruz.
A couple of people were injured as well who were homeless, too.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. It was in the Poconup, right?
That's what I hear, yeah.
Yeah, well, what are the odds? But I guess since there's so many homeless that the odds aren't really that bad. These things are going to happen. I remember that one fellow who died in a trash compactor a few years back because you have to hide somewhere. You have to hide when you sleep outside because
you don't want to be found.
Arrest you.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen here. And what does it do? It does nothing to solve the problem. A friend of mine was telling me that United Healthcare has a pilot program to provide homeless for some of the people under their care because it's much cheaper to give them a home for $2,000 than $12,000 for all their emergency room visits.
Yeah, that sounds standard.
In the end, doing the right thing is actually cheaper and better for everyone. But they don't do that when you get into political power. You just protect yourself with your privileged potties inside the government buildings. How is the toilet issue? I'm always interested in the toilet issue.
No, yeah, give a shit campaign. The Catch Committee is sitting on its butt and, so to speak, they're on the pot and they can't decide what whether to shit or go blind. Forgive the phrase. And they are, they talk about opening up a couple porta potties. We sent letters to the new mayor, Justin Cummings, who's horrible. He isn't the mayor yet, but he will be.
He's the swing vote that's going tending towards the right.
Yeah, oh, big time. He's in Watkins' pocket, looks like.
Yeah, it looks like they really Oreo'd him up.
Yeah, and they, Loudoun Nelson bathrooms are still closed. People are sleeping outside Loudoun Nelson. They're getting sprayed down and ticketed for obstructing the sidewalk, and their tents are getting destroyed. It's bullshit.
What do you mean by sprayed down?
Well, I got a report from Alicia Cool tonight that she reports from Cooper, one of the women who sleeps there and then plays during the day or during the evening on the sidewalk. She's a singer.
Uh-huh.
And she said that last night one of the people was at 2 in the morning, a person came out of the house and hosed them down with water.
Oh, a citizen. Yeah, well, that could be the type of...
Yeah, that was her report anyway, secondhand report. But it's nasty shit. They've roped off the grass where people had been sitting during the day and sleeping during the night along Laurel Street next to the Loudoun Nelson Center. So the criminalization and the constriction of space continues.
Why is that location now being selected for sleeping?
Well, I guess it's because there's grass there, because there's a bathroom in the police station.
Ah.
There's a bathroom in the bagelry. There's a bathroom at the Saturn Cafe.
I see.
Perhaps.
Speaking of bathrooms, I went to the library here. It's a very high-quality library because it's all being paid for by losing gamblers. And the bathrooms were museum quality.
Really? What does that mean?
Pristine. I mean, it's just really high-quality bathrooms.
Nope.
This is a library. Compared to Santa Cruz Library, which is a shithole bathroom, and they want to build a library.
Well, was there an attendant with a towel?
No, but it's just, the whole building looks like a museum. It's really, really nice.
Hmm.
It's pretty new, I think. Well, I was impressed compared to the libraries in Santa Cruz.
Right on. Well, let me roll you up there. I got about a couple more hours to put this show, we're doing a long show tonight. It gets played tomorrow.
We're not being recorded, right?
Yes, you are being recorded.
Oh, still? Oh, because you used my name. We'll just cut this part out.
Okay.
All righty, Robert. Have a good one.
Hey, you too, man, and keep the reports coming.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye. And that was our man in Las Vegas, or a guy in Las Vegas who had some concerns in Santa Cruz and continues to think of us now and then.